For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And congratulations to the Vegas Golden Knights, Stanley Cup champions after six long suffering seasons.
Yes. How hard for them. Yeah. So glad that they were finally able to get over that hump.
Yeah. So they had quite the parade yesterday, too. Jack Eichel was the star. He was mostly, from what I saw anyways, on Twitter. He was all over the place, shirtless and just running down Las Vegas Boulevard. So, yeah, they had quite the time there. And I guess they had it in the evening. I thought it was kind of weird. They had it at 7 o'clock.
Because it's so hot. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. But yeah, no, it was... I figured I picked them. You didn't.
No.
So, but it's not because neither of us really cared, basically, right? Who won. But yeah, I just thought that they were going to do it, and they did. And yeah, Jonathan Marchessault as well got the Conn Smythe. So congratulations to Vegas.
Yes, congratulations to them. Now we can move on and talk more and think more about our Leafs again, 100% of the time. Yeah. No distractions.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's always a sad day for me when the cup is awarded. Well, mostly because it's never to our team. But the other reason because that means that hockey season is over. So now we've got, you know, a few months with no hockey.
But there's going to be lots of to talk about.
Well, but not the game on the ice.
Not on the ice.
Yeah. So that's what I'm getting at. You know, we're not going to get to watch it for a bit. But at the same time, you know, the hopeful side of it is that now we can look forward to, you know, it's a clean slate again for our Leafs. And we can look forward to and be hopeful for the next season. So.
Yeah. And yeah, we start planning, like a lot of people were saying, start planning for next year to win the cup.
That's right. So anyway, just to put a nice bow on this playoff, we go to Hockey Twitter, that never disappoints when it comes to funny content. And we're just going to go through a few tweets that were posted that really made us laugh. So
yes, I had a good laugh. The first one. I'll give the first one here. It's the one with Paul Maurice, where it was actually in the Leaf series where he put his hands up like this, I think it was, or something like this, I guess, because he got six penalties. They got six penalties called against them. But on Hockey Twitter, there was at It's Mitch Marnie tweeted, "Hey, Paul, how many goals did you lose the Stanley Cup clinching game by?" And they had... And they had that little thing. It was actually 9, though. So 9-3 in that final game. That was brutal to lose like that. But I thought
they lost by 6, which is, I guess, the point.
Oh, 6. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. All right. I was doing, they mentioned the goals. So I was thinking more of the goals, but
yeah. Okay. Another funny one was by at Mick Maz. And it was referring to that picture of Gudas screaming in Joseph Woll's face. And above it, they captioned it, "The hockey gods don't forget." Yes. So there you go. Bad karma for Gudas. Of course, they did not win the cup. So
And then the other picture that was going around was him just staring at the Stanley Cup. It's he can never touch it because he didn't win. So yep. So that was funny. I like that one too. Mm-hmm. And then the last one for me, I guess, is our lovely buddy there, Phil. Phil Kessel winning his third Stanley Cup. He can never forget us in Toronto, though he has to mention us. And he said, like, you guys thought or said how you couldn't win with me, and now I'm three times a cup champion, sort of thing, right? But then on the Toronto radio station, it was funny. Somebody was talking about how that's fine. He can say all he wants, but he got started here in Toronto with the hot dogs. And and those hot dogs, they said that he has some business coming out an athletic hot dog because he's looking so much shipshape. Or he's in ship shape, let's say, Phil. And they said he's got this athletic hot dog, and it's going to be coming to a hot dog cart at King and John soon. So look out for those athletic hot dogs from Phil Kessel. Well,
that's smart of him, because people will buy them here.
Oh, yeah.
More only so here. Than anywhere else. Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, for sure. Yeah. So good marketing. yeah. All right. And then one thing I want to say, though, like, what is it about players leaving, winning the cup, but then they have to mention their bitterness to Toronto? Kadri did the same thing. Yes. After winning. Yeah. In with Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, oh, man. Yeah. Everybody, it's just, they know it's not the same.
I don't
same.
Know if Tyler Bozak did.
No, he didn't.
I don't think
he did. But he didn't leave on like a bitter term.
That's true. Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway. All right. So my last one is from at Greta Van Leafs. And it just points out some interesting karma, yeah. I guess, curse on the Leafs side. This is crazy, they point out. And 2019, Boston beat the Leafs and lost in the finals. 2021, Montreal beat the Leafs and lost in the finals. 2022, Tampa Bay beat the Leafs, lost in the finals. 2023, Florida beat the Leafs, lost in the finals. The curse is real, they said. And yes. Yeah, it's
so it's
when
the
you
reverse,
look at that, it's kind of crazy. Is that so maybe
curse.
The Leafs are cursed, but the curse rubs off on whoever beats us. So
exactly.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So you never know, Nick, that reverse curse. And it's like we tweeted out, it's a hex on the team, basically.
Yeah.
You're going to beat us. You're not going to be winning no Stanley Cup.
No. So, yeah. So God help whoever comes up against us then.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's time to get a little bit more serious hockey talk in, as the off season is officially started. And there's lots to talk about, starting with the hiring of Shane Doan as special advisor to Brad Treliving. Updates on Sheldon Keefe's status, Austin Matthews, and William Nylander. And in a third period segment, we're going to give some possibilities on who the Leafs could be targeting in the upcoming draft and free agency. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
Okay, so before we get into the Leaf talk, just a reminder to give us a rating or review wherever you listen to our show, Apple, Spotify, leave us a comment on social media, and just let us know what you think of the show. We always want to hear from our listeners, and we would love to hear from you. So, Shane Doan. Okay, so have to admit, as soon as I heard that, I thought of Austin Matthews.
Yep.
Right. I didn't even go any further than that. But really, it's not just about Austin Matthews. I was like, I guess Brad Treliving, obviously, he had the connection with Shane Doan from their Arizona days, because Brad Treliving was an assistant GM there. Mm-hmm. And he was with the Coyotes for 11 years. And seven of those were with Shane Doan. So Doan as well. The amount of experience he has, like, with Hockey Canada, it's actually unbelievable. Like, he's got, like, as a player, and then most recently in 2021, he was the assistant GM for the IIHF World Championship team. And in 2022, he was the GM of Canada's Olympic team. So he took over from Doug Armstrong, who was supposed to do that, was supposed to be there in Beijing, but because of the whole COVID situation, everything that was going on, he ended up and the NHL coming back and all that. It was kind of a mixed up time. So Doan was named the GM of the team there, and then he was also, just this past May, he was the assistant GM of Canada's team that won gold at the World Championships. So he has a lot of experience, and I just think that he, in Arizona, it's almost like, because he was there for so long, like it was just like a, he was their face of their franchise on a, like a ceremonial type of thing. Like, I don't know, like he wasn't really being given the opportunity to do what he could do, right? With all that experience with being a GM with Hockey Canada, he was mostly in player development with Arizona. And so I just think that part of it wasn't really, I guess, put to the forefront, that he does have a lot of experience in. I've also found it funny how so many of these players that, like, when we were watching the game in our more youthful days, let's say, right, all these players now, like Jerome Iginla getting hired, same idea,
I know,
in Colorado or in Calgary,
old.
Yes. And then in Philadelphia, John LeClaire got hired to work with Keith Jones and somebody else there.
That's an interesting hire, actually.
Yeah.
Because he's had a really tough time post-career as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So all these players that are even around Shanahan's age too, right? Brendan Shanahan's, they're all coming into the executive side of the game. So, yes, definitely with Shane Doan, obviously it's Auston Matthews' favorite player when he was little growing up.
The relationship that I thought was really interesting and sweet is the relationship that Knies has with him.
Yes.
Because Knies, you know, was coached by him and has known him like since growing up, like from a little kid. Yeah.
Sons played together, I think, too, because they have
that's like probably Shane, why, yeah.
Yeah, Shane Doan's son.
I heard he said that he's coached Doan's coached him since he was little.
Yeah.
So he must have coached his son's team or something like that. And that was really sweet.
Yeah. And the other thing with Knies delivering him a jersey.
Yeah.
A
jersey. Yeah. With his number 23, but that's also the year that both of them kind of really made their NHL or Maple Leaf debut, right? So significant there, I guess. Anyway, I don't know. Like it's interesting, what you say, cause you know, he, like you said, like he sort of had like a sort of a ceremonial kind of role, ambassadorial, I guess,
that kind of thing. Yeah.
With the Coyotes. But he's obviously so highly thought of because he's being given these roles with Hockey Canada. I think that it was obviously a special opportunity for him to come here to the Leafs and also work with Treliving. So those are the two things, I guess, that pulled him away from there because, you know, I don't think that anyone would have thought that he would ever leave Arizona because he's entrenched in that community.
Yeah. And just the family too, right? Like his family and everything. Like, I don't know.
His kids are obviously like, if his son played with Knies, they're getting older as well. So it's, you know, not as, you don't have the whole thing with school and all of that. Yeah. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see, what he does.
Though Doan is obviously interested in the GM side. Obviously he's taken with Hockey Canada, he's taken so many roles with whether it be an assistant. And it's good too, because he's worked like in those other roles. Like there was Doug Armstrong, there was Steve Yzerman that he had some.
Yes. Assistant. He's had some pretty incredible mentors.
Yeah. Like to have some, mentorship with that. And it looks like he's wanting to head in that direction and possibly become a future GM of a team too. So I think actually it's in a way it's a little bit better than because Spezza came right out of being a player, Jason Spezza.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I think it's kind of a stretch for them to make him assistant GM right off the hop there.
Like, I know. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't understand. Anyways, we don't have to worry about Kyle Dubas making these kinds of decisions anymore for us. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, we're not going to get into that.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm not going to mention his name again, but yeah. I just found that really bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah. So when it comes to Auston Matthews, most of the insiders are saying that he will sign an extension in Toronto. Like it's just basically a matter of time sort of thing, right? And obviously he can't sign until July 1st anyways, but it's probably not going to happen that quickly because it's going to be a complicated deal. But yeah, what's going to happen with him, with Nylander? How about Sheldon Keefe? Will he be back behind the bench next season?
Well, so with Auston Matthews, we know that Treliving went to Arizona to meet up with him and his family. And that was not really with the mind on negotiating. I think it was more just to get to know him. So I don't know. I think with Auston, people are going to be disappointed inevitably because he's for sure going to sign a shorter deal, much shorter than we would like. I would personally, like to me, I think it would be a success if they get him for five.
Right. Yeah. I think so too. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He's looking for three.
I think so too.
But I think the team is for term, they would be beneficial for five.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I totally get where he and his camp are coming from because the cap has been so flat. I think the bigger deal for these players now is not necessarily how much they get per year. It's the percent of the cap that they get.
Yeah.
So with the cap being this low, he can't get as big a chunk. Do you know what I mean? Like if he gets 20% on a cap that is like 90 million, that's much more reasonable than 20% of 83.
No, you know? Can't go to 20. There's no way because McKinnon right now, I actually wrote down some, and I guess through all listening to radio and all the reports on the higher end players that are getting paid, like McKinnon right now is making 12.6 million AAV on the cap, which is about just under 15% of the cap.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that you could go from that to 20 for Auston Matthews. No.
That is, you know, like I think people are so caught up with the numbers, but a hometown discount, you could look at it as the percent of cap that they end up taking versus the actual number. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and so like I think most people could agree that he could warrant 20%. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
But for him to take a shorter deal,
At a
slightly lower percent of the cap, that's a hometown discount, actually.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. No,
you know, when you look at it that way. So people are going to be disappointed because he's going to get a big number, but he's not going to sign for 8 years. But really, it's actually in our benefit for him to sign for a shorter time and then sign a much longer deal after
even coming in the middle then, like we're saying five, let's say he says three, come in at four years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And then still take, like, don't take every single penny, like the way, I'm hoping they realize after so many kicks of the can here, seven years in the playoffs and just getting past the first round now. I'm hoping these players realize that by taking every single penny, you're not doing the team any favor, like to get further along in the playoffs and get to that ultimate goal. So
I think you mentioned Willie before. I think Willie is the more difficult one, to tell you the truth, because his comparables, I mean, I was looking at Pasternak, you know, like he's making about just shy of 14% of the cap in Boston and at 11.2. Now, the thing is with Willie is that he kind of signed, like at the time, remember everybody was out of their mind because he signed, you know, for such a large amount at that time. So he signed a slightly bigger deal for his first contract.
Yeah, because it was more than Pasternak, what he got then. Yeah.
So,
and then that was the whole comparison. Everybody was comparing him to Pasternak, and Pasternak was like blowing him away.
But I think, you know, he's probably, but the thing is like a guy like, he can't get the same as a guy like Pasternak, because Pasternak is their superstar. Yeah. He's their Austin Matthews.
Yeah.
So for him to get that.
Pasternak is the high end. And even I was looking too at the comparables, even like Mikko Rantanen. He's a comparable as well.
Like even Johnny Gaudreau, for example.
Right.
You know, but even with Columbus, again, same situation. He's their superstar. Willie is comparable to those guys, but he's not that for us. So this is what kind of scares me with him, because it's sort of similar to the difficulty we had with Naz, in that Naz was, he was almost too good for our team in the role that he was going to have to play. And sort of similar for Willie.
Right. But going back to your mentioning of Johnny Gaudreau there, it's interesting because they both have the same agent.
Right.
Right. And Louis Gross. And he's been a bit of a hard ass with before when dealing with that original contract with Willie. And mind you, obviously, we have to mention the name again. He was dealing with Kyle Dubas at the time. Right. And
very early on in his tenure as well.
Yes. Yeah. And, and Treliving so has that experience though, dealing with that agent. And, so that's actually a positive on our side. Like, cause those, that negotiation with Johnny Gaudreau, like they gave him everything that Calgary gave him everything that he would have wanted to actually stay there. But he was at the time at the time, but last season, he chose to go.
But his cap hit with Columbus is 9.75. So $9,750,000.
Yeah.
So is that too much for Willie?
Well, that's the thing. When you look at it,
I would like him to come in at around 8 or a little bit more.
Yes, 8.5. That's the team. That's what the team wants, is the 8.5.
And basically, that's 10% of the cap if you look at it that way.
But he's going to be looking for 9. We know that.
Yeah, for
9
sure.
And over, right? Mm-hmm. But
And the comparables weren't it. Like if I were his agent, I'd be going with that list, and all the people that are his comparables, they're all over 8.5.
Like they are, but then if you look at it though, because I looked at some bottom end comparables, and most recently is that the player in New Jersey is a winger, Jesper Bratt. Mm-hmm. He just signed a deal. Now this is the low end, let's just say, of where Nylander, the range, let's just say, he could look at. It's not going to happen. He's just signed for $7.88 million over 8 years.
Right.
All right, Kevin Fiala, who's a very good winger as well with the LA Kings. He signed a 7-year deal for that same amount. So that's the bottom end. And then you get the high end, like Mikko Rantanen and even Matthew Tkachuk.
To me, a really good comparable for him, based on what he does for the team, is somebody like Philip Forsberg.
Right.
You know, because he's not necessarily their top superstar or whatever. And he's 8.5.
Right. Yeah.
So
again, it all comes down to not taking every penny and maybe.
So again, maybe he would. What if he takes a shorter deal?
Yeah. Yeah. You see, that's the thing. I heard he wants he wants a max deal.
That's actually better then, because if you can go the 8 with him, you can give him a little bit less. They easily can. You know, augment these things with signing bonuses. That actually is a huge, huge thing to help with the whole tax situation and all that. Then you can maybe get away with a little bit less, but for a longer term.
I don't know if they've actually spoken, like Treliving or anything, to Louis Gross, the agent, like to actually try, because also Nylander, as of July 1st, has the 10 team no trade clause right. in there, right? So he has 10 teams and that he won't go to.
So hopefully Carolina is not one of those teams.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because definitely there was something that interested both me and Syl saw this before. It's funny how we notice these things that we're not living in the same house, but we're noticing the same transactions. So on an article, we noticed there was an interesting trade on Yahoo Sports. There was some trade possibilities, they said, for Nylander. We don't want Willie traded, but if it happens, whatever, we want the best. But the one deal that we thought was not so bad was if packaging Willie and Liljegren to Carolina for right shot defenseman Brett Pesce, right winger Seth Jarvis, who was actually our draft pick from that Marlowe deal, that we had to throw in the draft pick for Carolina to take on the salary of Patrick Marlowe, and center Jack Drury. Yeah, so that's the proposal that they gave, which I thought was actually not so bad. And when you look at the money coming in, let's just say, to come back to us is $5.84 million on the cap, and we'd be giving back to Carolina $6.36 million.
Yeah, it's like for
actually, sorry, 8.36 what million going back.
I didn't actually read that article, and the speculation that I heard it listening to NHL Network on Sirius XM today, and they were talking about Carolina and how they need they need more offense, and they need a game breaker, and immediately Willie popped into my head. Is he's the perfect kind of guy for them, and Pesce would be the perfect kind of defenseman for us. So as far as the other fringe things that would go into that, you know, that's just a one for one, and they would have to obviously massage that to make it work. But it seems like that is the type of trade that would be a good hockey trade. It'd be benefiting both teams involved.
Yeah, because Treliving,
like we said, I don't really want to. I don't want to see Willie go. I'd rather get to watch him day in, day out.
He's a 40 goal scorer.
That would make some sense.
Yeah, like you got to remember, he's a 40 goal scorer. Like it's hard to score 20 goals, let alone 40 goals in the NHL, right?
Yep.
So who's going to score those 40 goals for us if we don't have them?
Right? Yeah.
So
exactly,
other people have to. Well, I mean, I guess we'd have to round out the bottom six better to pick up some of that goal scoring.
To expect your bottom six to replace, you know,
no,
at least 15 no. goals is no. a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, we got to have hope. Obviously Matthew Nye's coming into the lineup full time, that he'll have a good, I guess a good season, good presence on the second line, let's say. So, I don't know. That was just a possibility that we thought of. But what about Sheldon Keefe now? Let's just move on to Sheldon Keefe. We talked a bit about him
last show.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's really no update on his status. But one thing I thought, I mean, there has been some reports saying like they'll possibly do an extension for him later in the summer. Mm-hmm. But and then as soon as I start hearing the talk, apparently they've been interviewing candidates to replace Spencer Carberry as an assistant coach. And I thought, well, I mean, that pretty much seals the deal in my opinion, that he is definitely coming back next season, and whether or not an extension happens, I mean, it's quite possible just because of that. Right. I mean, you don't let him be the one doing an interviews for an assistant coach if he's not coming back for a little bit anyway. So
they probably don't want him to be in that lame duck position either. So like I could see it being like a 2-year deal, because that way, you know, if he has a short leash, you know, you're not really tied into having to pay out a whole bunch of extra years.
Did you hear, I didn't mention this to you before, did you hear how, changing the subject off of Sheldon Keefe for a second, but to the head coach with Mike Babcock? Apparently, he because they haven't announced. He's going to be the coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets, but apparently he wants to take every single cent from the Leafs, like right up to June 30th, because that's when his deal ends.
Doesn't surprise me.
But yeah, like apparently word has got out that he definitely he's that bitter. Again, bitterness to us for different situations this time, the coaching. I was like, oh my God, what, 1 month is going to kill you? Like if you were named coach June 1st.
He's been sitting for four. So
yeah, I just thought that was hilarious with him. Anyways,
And that's probably why, like, I'm sure he could have taken like other jobs, but he obviously wasn't going to be making as much as he's making with the Leafs anywhere. And for sure Columbus isn't paying him that anyway. No.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
No.
Yeah. So many decisions to be made, and not just with the front office and the contracts for the star players. So for a third period segment, we're going to talk about the upcoming NHL draft, which goes on June 28th and 29th. And then, of course, free agency opens on July 1st.
Okay, so the NHL draft is the big date coming up in the calendar, and the Leafs have three picks, a first, a fifth, and a sixth. So what we did here was we just went through some of the different, scouting reports from, like, whether it be Craig Button, TSN, NHL Central Scouting puts out a list of the draft, the players eligible for this draft. And Bob McKenzie obviously has a big list too. So we just went through, and I picked two D-men, Sills picking two forwards. So I'll go first with the D-men. I picked as the first one. Actually, Sill gave me a heads up on this one a little bit with, some of our listeners probably remember Radek Bonk, who played with the Senators and had a few games versus our Leafs there too back in the day. It was his son, Oliver Bonk, is a 6'2" defenseman playing with the London Knights, and he's eligible for this year's draft. And he comes in at in and around the 28th pick where we are. Some NHL Central Scouting has him a little bit higher, in the like early 20s as going in the draft. And then like Craig Button and Bob McKenzie have him lower, like in the 30s. So, he's good with the puck retrieval along the boards. He plays a physical game. He's not really huge. So, but he does play physical. The whole idea with him is too, he's been around the game through his father, right? And his dad taught him the game. And it's funny, there's other, not to get sidetracked here, but there are other players in the draft, we'll mention them later, that are sons of former players. And they just have that hockey game in them, sort of, right? So, he can exit the D zone quickly, whether it be skating it out or making a crisp pass. So he's not like, there's no glaring errors in his game, sort of like the way they say, right? Like they are glaring holes in his game. So that's my first pick for the D-men. Do you have any comments on that or?
No, the only thing I would say is that one of the other things that I thought was interesting about him was he seems to have a really good personality. So like going into the combine, his dad had this famous mullet, I guess, that is still like plastered all over the place. So he shaved his head on the side to give himself a mullet going into the combine. And his parents were like shocked and dismayed that he did that. But
yeah, they weren't too impressed.
No, no. So, but I think, you know, that says that he's got a pretty cool personality too. So I kind of liked that aspect as well.
And he is a right shot defenseman, which we all, for several seasons now, we all know about right shot defensemen. And yeah. And then the other kid that I picked, from what I read, there's not a lot of high end defense prospects, but the fact that the Leafs haven't picked a defenseman since 2020 was the last time. It was Topi Niemelä was the last time they picked a defenseman, right? So we got to get some defensemen in the system, basically. Yep.
Treliving, that's how he likes to build his teams too, right? So I can imagine that he would probably want to go for that too.
Yeah. So the second guy that I picked was Quinton Burns, and Central Scouting had him at number 34. Craig Button had him at number 77. But I also saw an article, and I'd encourage the listeners to go to hockeywriters.com. They actually have pretty good, like when you just put in the name of the player, they have some really good descriptions of what that player's habits are and how they play the game. So this particular article I saw, they mentioned the top 10 OHL defensemen, and he was listed. Quinton Burns was listed at number 10. So his main, again, he's not a flashy defenseman, but He has a long reach, which is good. We all know with Sheldon Keefe and Justin Hall and that long reach that he was very attached to Justin Hall for that reason. So this kid has a long reach, and his main attribute is his defensive IQ. So he's really good on, going along the boards, getting the puck out, like, in the scrums and that. He's gets the puck up, has the first pass to get out of the zone. He's a good skater. And he's only 18 years old. So, I mean, all these kids, it's going to take them a while to develop, especially defensemen. But he's 6'1", so he has size, shoots left. And he played with the Kingston Frontenacs of the OHL. So that was my second pick. There was another kid that was in there too from the Barrie Colts he played. And he was similar, but he was more offensive. So I went with this defensive player because I think we need more defense, more stay at home guys. We need than offensive players. Cause I believe Topi Niemelä is he's a high end defense prospect that's already in our system. And he's more offensive. So we already got him. So let's go with some defense here.
All right. So I was charged with looking at forwards. So basically, you know, it's difficult to figure out, you know, what are our needs. And basically at 28, pretty much you've got to pick the best player available, regardless of position, I guess. But looking at the forwards, the first guy that I picked a Quentin too. Quentin Musty is his name. He actually came into the OHL with a lot of hype as he was the first overall selection in his year for the OHL draft. He kind of fell off a little bit after that, but this past year kind of was a big breakout year for him. So he pretty much a really well-rounded game. He is a left winger. I kind of was really looking for centers, but doesn't seem to be a really good crop of really good centers. And I think that's what we kind of, our needs are. So, this guy's a left winger. Obviously I mentioned he's in the OHL. He's quite big. He's 6'2", 190. He basically is sort of, in the rankings. Bob McKenzie ranks him around 26, but he's kind of as high as, 12th, really in the rankings and 26. So it may be a guess as to whether he would fall as low as 28. I don't know.
Yeah.
He may not. But bottom line, he was one of the league's best point producers, and especially at even strength. And we know that that really fits in well with our team's game. He is, you know, pretty pro ready. He's got good size as mentioned, and he's good with the puck and has really good hands in front of the net and not shy to dangle. So he could be an exciting player to watch. He has really good habits by all accounts. So that makes his game, well, I guess what they call sort of pro ready. And he's got this really good blend of size and speed. He's sort of a similar type player to Matthew Nyes, but by all accounts, a better puck distributor. So anyway, the dings on him, his skating is not the greatest, and his consistency is not the best either. So for me, when I read that, I thought, if Willie gets traded, this guy could fit the bill to, replace him in making Keith crazy. But anyway, so that's basically my first pick.
Yeah, so he was with Sudbury, I see here, right? Sudbury Wolves. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Yeah. And he's listed number 20 on the Hockey Writers. List or whatever. So yeah, that could move any.
Yeah, you're right, ballpark.
Though. Yeah, you're right though about maybe replacing Willie's demeanor a little bit. But, and the fact that he's a left winger, right?
Yeah.
So that's because we're kind of short on left wing, mm-hmm. even though obviously this is for the future, and they're not going to step into the league now. But still, it's something we're already short of. And all right. And who's your other?
So my second pick. I just decided to pick somebody that was sort of a little bit interesting. Now, we did mention a little bit, we were talking a little bit before going on to record, that, you know, picking Russian players is a little bit of a wild card.
Yeah.
And this guy is a wild card in a lot of areas, but he's really interesting. His name is Daniel Butt. He is a really big kid. He's 6'5 and 203 pounds. So he's like a very much in the Tage Thompson type mold. He caught my eye because I was reading a little bit in The Athletic, and they have a different way of basically listing prospects. They don't kind of make a prospect list, is they basically rank players based on, their attributes. So like, skating, best puck handler, that kind of thing. And as far as athleticism, this guy was picked number one. So to me, if you've got an 18-year-old kid that is basically, they're talking about the best athlete, that means that kid's got attributes to really be something,
And you said he was 6'5"?
6'5".
Wow.
And what are some of the things that we're missing? We're missing size. We're missing some toughness. We want those kinds of things can pay dividends. And, the thing with big kids is that they often can't skate very well. Now this guy does have to improve his skating, but he moves better. And when he gets to top speed, he can still do things with the puck, which is what makes him special. And he's just going to keep growing into it. Now, I don't know, that's the thing is that because of the size factor, it's a wild card. But look at a guy like Tage Thompson, it took him a while to kind of develop. But now he is a real game breaker.
Yeah.
And so this guy could be a wild card. It is a risky pick, but I actually thought that he was interesting. He's also been playing in the KHL. He's been in the Russian system this whole time. So he's been playing with men as well.
That's kind of like the other defense prospect we talked about him before we came on air, that I was talking about, this Jacob Dvorak, who's 6'5", defenseman playing in Czechia. And he has that. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, it's going to be like Zdeno Chara comparisons or anything, right? And he has all these qualities. The skating actually with that kid wasn't too bad, but he's a big kid, and he has that long reach. But again, there's always, I don't know, because of these lower end in the draft, let's just say in the first, whether it be first round or dropping into the second round, those are the ones like it's hit or miss if you're going to get, you got to really have those scouts out there watching the kids to actually say.
That's the thing. Like this kid, he can skate. He's got great hands. He can do a lot of things at a faster speed than most guys his size. And so there's something to be said for that, right?
Yeah.
So anyways. And he's basically ranked really in the ballpark where we would be picking.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that, you know, if they decide to take a flyer on this guy, that because he's Russian, maybe he'll drop just that little bit and land in our laps. So another guy that I just want to add is like a sort of a honorable mention. Mm-hmm. And again, we were talking about, you know, players that have kids that are going to be drafted. And because of his Maple Leaf.
Which one are you going to pick? I know of two of them. So
I was just going to mention Gabe Perreault, his Yannick Perreault's son.
Yeah.
And he's a winger. He's not a centerman, but apparently his dad did work on the faceoffs with him. So he's good in the faceoffs.
Yeah.
That's another guy that I thought I would mention, but I don't anticipate that he would drop low enough for us to pick him. So,
yeah. And the other one that is a former Leaf, the son of a former Leaf, is Darby Hendrickson's son, Beckett Hendrickson, is also, he's a winger that's going to be in this draft. So there's quite a few names that make us feel old to say that we know that when their dads played, basically. But let's go on to free agency, though.
Yes, as Chris mentions, yes, next up is free agency opening on July 1st. So it's not a great free agent class. And in fact, the Leafs will probably lose more players on our current roster than they sign anyone. And that actually would be a good thing because that would mean that we have people moving up from our development ranks. So anyway, we can take a look at and see who we think the Leafs might go for.
Yeah, so... just to review again, the guys that we think are going out are most likely Alexander Kerfoot, Michael Bunting, Justin Hall, Zach Aston-Reese, and Wayne Simmonds. Those are the guys that I'm pretty sure are not going to be back with the Leafs. We're hoping David Kampf and Noel Achari will re-sign with the Leafs. So those are the two UFAs that we hope... will sign and then most likely.
Because there's other ones we also hope will sign.
That's true. Yeah. And, Luke Shen is another one that obviously we want, we have heard reports that there's an issue with the term, that they are negotiating with, between the agent and the Leafs. So we'll see what happens there. But, we really need to fill out, our bottom six with those players, plus the D obviously too, I think is going to be, I don't know. It might be something just going over to the D there. You mentioned this, I think it was last episode or a couple episodes ago about TJ Brody and the possibility of maybe dealing him. I don't know. I'm kind of getting that vibe as well through some of the stuff that's been talked about that, he might be.
Well, as soon as Treliving came in, that's just something that I kind of thought about because he wanted to trade him before. So,
So I don't know. I just thought of that too, but for the bottom six, a couple of possibilities.
Like the only person we have in our bottom six is Lafferty.
So, couple possibilities that I thought of or that I was looking into were, Miles Wood from the New Jersey Devils. We looked into him a little bit, I think last year, the year before. He's 27 years old, left winger. He only signed a 1-year deal last year with New Jersey at $3.2 million. And he had 27 points this past season. So to me, he's a good third line kind of guy. And he played well in the playoffs too. I thought with the Devils and, Yeah, so I see him as a possibility on left wing because we need left wing desperately right now, I think. And Connor Brown. Brownie, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call him as a nickname. Former Leaf. He loved being a Leaf here. He didn't want to get traded to the Senators. But so I think he basically missed most of this season with a knee injury. And he was making in his last contract, $3.6 million last year. So if he's willing to take maybe a slightly lower, but around the same, 3.5, something like that, because he's coming back basically from injury, from a big injury like that. So maybe he'd be somebody that we could pick up. And then the last one that I had was more of a big ticket guy that we've talked about before that I don't think will happen because he's too much money is Matt Dumba on defense. If we're looking for he's a UFA, 28 years old, right shot D. We've coveted him before. Lots of talk in Leafs Nation about him coming here and matching up well with Morgan Rielly, like as a top pairing. But I don't think it's possible just because of the cap hit, but we can always dream mm-hmm. and mention him. So, yeah, I mean, the Leafs have right now, they have $9 million in cap space, just over $9 million in cap space available. So they got to replace these like 5 or 6 guys and then plus work on the defense. Right. Mm-hmm. So,
Well, I'm still hoping that O'Rielly comes back. That would be beautiful if he did. Right. A guy that we kind of talked off about a little off the air is somebody that we've never coveted when it comes to free agent time, but surprisingly, he makes an impact everywhere he goes. He's really turning into a journeyman, which I'm sort of surprised. Somebody like Max Domi, he could not cost a lot, but he seems to make a difference wherever he goes. He was great for Dallas,
yes,
in the playoffs, and in the stretch there. So
I don't know. He liked his time in Chicago, and he might want to go play. He might want to go play with Connor Bedard.
Potentially, but anyways, that's somebody that I kind of thought of. I don't know, it's tough, you know, it's like, you know, Bunting, I think he's going to be priced out. You know, there was some, we were talking a little bit about somebody like Alex Killorn, maybe,
right?
But maybe he's just he's got too many miles on him potentially right now, but you know, that's a guy from a winning culture. So we'll see, I guess, but,
I
think the best deals will be made via trade potentially
for us, for our purposes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. So we'll see what happens. That's, it's going to be, we'll be watching, that's for sure, on July 1st, and seeing what happens and who signs and it'll be interesting to see if Bunting goes and joins Dubas there in Pittsburgh. I don't know, the whole Sioux thing is going to transfer down to Pennsylvania.
I wonder if he's just going to go out and grab all of his previous picks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So one other event that's coming up is the NHL Awards, which is being held in Nashville on June 26th. And basically, we pretty much already know Connor McDavid is going to win the Hart Trophy as league MVP. He mm-hmm. is going up against Matthew Tkachuk. And I didn't. Oh, geez. Who's the other one? Let me look it up.
Tkachuk and Pasternak.
Right. How could I forget the pasta man? Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty much Connor McDavid's to win. So we're going to
he'll probably do the double like Austin did last year.
Yeah. Yeah. With the Ted Lindsay and the Hart Trophy. So we're just going to run through who we think will win, the main awards. We're going to just go through. So we have a couple of differences actually. So let's, you go first with the Vezina there.
So for the Vezina, the finalists are Connor Hellebuck, Ilya Sorokin, and Linus Allmark. And I actually am thinking that Sorokin might win this award. He was played incredible all season. He was definitely the backbone of that Islanders defensive style and system. So he's my pick.
All right, well, I'm picking Allmark. It's just because of that magical season that the Bruins had and all that goalie hugging at the end that you always saw at the end of the Bruins games. And they did have a fantastic season, and normally whoever wins the whoever has the best goals against average percentage also wins this award. So I'm going to go with, which they did, Boston won. So I'm just going to go with Linus Allmark on that. So moving on to the Norris Trophy, the finalists are Adam Fox from the Rangers, Erik Karlsson from the Sharks, and Cale Makar from the Avalanche. And for that, I think we both agree it's going to be Erik Karlsson.
Yeah.
I mean, he had over 100 points in the season.
I really think they should have a second defense award.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like, because it usually always goes to the most offensive defenseman, but they should have an award for the best defensive defenseman as well, or best overall or best all round, I think, because I mean, if they have an offensive or defensive forward award, why don't they have, you know, the opposite for, like, that's just the hilarious thing. For defense, they still give the award to the most offensive defenseman.
Yeah.
You know, like, you'd think that they'd be the best defender, period, you know? Anyway.
But
Karlsson's probably going to win this for sure.
Yeah, and he definitely, I guess, when Brent Burns got traded to Carolina, obviously that's where he benefited the most, because he ended up being the number one man, right?
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting how it really didn't work out with the two of them there together.
Right. Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because now they're in like a rebuilding mode as well.
Yeah.
So,
and he might,
you know, they traded. Couldn't capitalize on the two of them together at that time.
Yeah.
It's really too bad. All right, so let's move on to the Calder Trophy. So the finalists are Matty Beniers, Owen Power, and Stuart Skinner. Again, here we have a difference of opinion. I actually think Matty Beniers is probably going to win this. I think that the fact that his team, in another expansion team, did so well this year and, you know, did well in the playoffs, he has a lot. He basically was really an important piece to that. That's why I'm picking him.
Yeah. And I'm picking Stuart Skinner. Just because he was supposed to be the backup to Jack Campbell, I think. I don't know so much when Jack there went to Edmonton. I'm pretty sure he was supposed to be more of the number one. Like they were going to split the time, but he was kind of going to be the understudy, Stuart Skinner, and he ended up taking over during the regular season because Campbell basically did not have a good regular season, and he just wasn't able to come back and play a good game. So Stuart Skinner for me, and like he took them through the playoffs, obviously too, or into the playoffs, got past the first round, second round. So, and then eventually they lost to the Golden Knights, right?
Yeah.
I think they did. Yeah. So they lost to the eventual Stanley Cup champion. So, yeah. So I'm picking Stuart Skinner on that one. Next up is the Selke, the Frank Selke Trophy. And I switched my thing. I know for a fact I'm switching around here on my internet to get the different nominees of the trophy, but we know for a fact that Mitch Marner is a nominee for this Frank J. Selke Trophy as best defensive forward or two-way forward. He's up against Nico Hischier of the Devils, and of course our friend from Boston, the one that always wins this award, Patrice Bergeron. So I mean, I'm picking Bergeron just because I don't know, he might actually retire this year, and then somebody else can, maybe Mitch can win it next year. But yeah, I just think that being a centerman too makes a difference when they tend to pick centers for these
That's true.
The Selke Trophy, mm-hmm. as opposed to winners, even though or wingers. But yeah, so I'm going with Bergeron. Are you going with Bergeron or no?
No, well, I mean, I think he probably will win it, but I'm going to go for Mitch because we need fresh blood in this category. So, yeah. And I think he deserves it for what he does on the ice, playing in all situations. The only thing he doesn't have is the face-off acumen, and I think that is a big piece to this award, unfortunately. So, yeah. Anyway, so the next one, we're going to go on to the Lady Bing Trophy, and the finalists for this are Jack Hughes, Anže Kopitar, and Braden Point. I think we are in agreement on this one, and both of us think Jack Hughes should win this award. He is a huge piece in getting the Devils to where they got to this year. He is the real role model for that team, and of course, you know, he plays the game clean. So,
yeah, and he's he had the most points, I believe, for the Devils this season, and he was great in the playoffs. I thought, mm-hmm. like, he really he took it to another level, and and he's really, I just noticed a difference in his play from last season to this season. Like,
yes,
he's a different player, and he definitely deserves to for the Lady Bing, which obviously is more for the most sportsmanlike player.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, that's what I mean. Like, he's definitely a role model for the young team that they're building there. He's exciting. He's fun to watch. He enjoys playing the game. Yeah. You can see that, the joy there. So I think they're in good hands there.
Yeah. Okay. And the final one we're going to give our opinion on is the Jack Adams Award, which is for the best coach from the regular season. The nominees for that are Dave Hakstol from the Seattle Kraken, Jim Montgomery from the Boston Bruins, and Lindy Ruff from the New Jersey Devils. So I'm going, and I think we're both going with Jim Montgomery.
I don't know. I might change my mind on that.
Well, I'm actually, going with Montgomery.
Yeah, and he's likely to win it because of all the things that we've mentioned previously.
Yeah.
Although I do find it interesting that a lot of the times it doesn't go to that guy, the guy who wins everything and does everything right. But he's also got a great story, you know, because he was sort of out of the league, brought back in.
Yeah.
And did this in his first season. So there's something to be said for that. But, you know, Leaf connection again, Hakstol, I think, did a really great job with that team and wasn't even expected to get this far so quickly. So
my pick. The second pick would be Dave Hakstol.
Yeah.
Just because Seattle was just horrible last year.
But poor Lindy. I mean, gosh.
Yeah.
The guy, I think he has probably won a Jack Adams though before, I think maybe when he was with Buffalo, but yeah.
And Jim Montgomery,
he doesn't get enough respect.
Yeah. And Jim Montgomery too. I mean, the team that Boston had, like, basically Bruce Cassidy, who's now a Stanley Cup champion mm-hmm. with the Vegas Golden Knights. Like, it was his team, the way it was, like, there wasn't, It was a good team, let's just say, mm-hmm. the Bruins. He had all the players in place. Yes, it was his first year as the coach, but he has a lot. He had a lot already set up for him there.
Well, and truth be told, like, from everything that I hear, really, they have a player coach in Patrice Bergeron. Right. He's the guy that runs that team.
Yeah.
You know,
he's
the one who makes the rules. He's the one that holds it all together. So, he built the culture there, that guy.
Yeah.
So really, you know, and he could win that award then. Maybe he will one day. Maybe he'll go into coaching after. Who knows?
Yeah. You never know. So, it's the off season. We're going into we are in the off season, but I don't know, for me and for Syl, it doesn't feel like it's going to be just a business as usual off season, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks with our first patio season episode. Until then, be sure to follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our handle is at LTL1917. And a reminder again to be sure to leave us a rating or review and let us know what you think of the show. It's easy on Apple and Spotify, and it's important for our show to get more exposure as a source for LEAF content. And we thank you for taking the time.
And another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation you make goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. So you can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
And we also have our website, ladiestalkingleafs.com, if you want to check us out. We have our episodes there, and we have other lots of good content there too. And we also want to thank our healthcare workers. Always want to thank them and our first responders for everything that they do.
And we want to wish a happy Canada Day to our fellow Canadians listening. And thanks as always for watching and listening. And we'll see you next time on the patio. Go Leafs, go!
Go Leafs, go!
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.